Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Nutcracker Syndrome podcast. It's me, Simone, with some more information I think would be very beneficial to our community. I am now 4 days away from being 4 months post-op from my kidney auto transplant. So I'm still on the journey. I don't know if there's going to be a day where I feel like Nutcracker Syndrome doesn't affect me. Maybe there'll be a day where it's a little quieter. But things are still impacting me, and I'm hoping that what I'm learning on this journey will help you, maybe get ahead of it, just consider it, go ahead and talk to some doctors about it, reach out to other doctors, get them on your medical team. So today in this episode, I want to talk about dental health. I made a reel on my Instagram about this because whenever my vascular compressions started to present themselves, and we didn't even know they were vascular compressions yet, because as I've shared my story, some of you have listened, they originally mimicked gynecology problems. So I lost my uterus and I lost my left ovary, when in reality, I needed a kidney auto transplant. Now, I don't miss my uterus. I really, really don't. My left ovary, I do miss it for the hormonal aspect of it, but things are starting to level out now. We're about a year and a half post-hysterectomy loss of left ovary. It was a little wild there for a while, though, hormonally. With that being said, there was a lot of other things that started popping up on this journey that I didn't connect the dots, and that's what makes Nutcracker syndrome so chaotic. And I think vascular compressions in general, so some of you listening that have MALs and, S mass, I don't even know if you call that's how you would say it, but superior mesenteric artery syndrome. Those who have Eagle syndrome, I mean, just the gambit that's there. It's so chaotic because there's a lot of symptoms that don't seem connected to the vascular compression itself. For example, people that get diagnosed with POTS. And the reality is that sometimes those POTS-like symptoms are actually a residual effect of the vascular compression itself. Not always. But that's why I want to talk about dental health here, because one of the things, so 2 years ago, in 2023, that's when all my vascular compression symptoms started. Like I said, wasn't aware of the vascular related nature of the issue. We actually thought it was gynecology, and everything just felt like, why is everything starting to break down and nothing seems connected? Well, at this same time, my dental health started to decline rapidly. I am a twice a day brusher and flosser. I also eat a healthy diet. I'm a pretty healthy person. I work out. So I was floored whenever I went to the dentist for a regular checkup. And to be fair, I was living in a van full time for 2 years. So during that 2 year stint, I wasn't really doing my every 6 month dental checkup, but there was nothing really presenting as a problem, right? I was continuing with my daily brush, daily floss. So I just went to the dentist thinking, oh, great. Like, I got my out-of-pocket max, my deductible met. While I'm on this medical journey, let's just go ahead and connect with a dentist. And I go in, and they tell me at my checkup that I have four pretty intense cavities. And I'm just like, what? Okay. Very kind of shocking to me. But I don't make the connection. I'm not thinking this must be my uterus. My uterus is causing these cavities. Because again, at the time, didn't know it was vascular related. Only issues I had was stage four endometriosis that was going to be excised, and also looking at the hysterectomy, potential adenomyosis. So I go have the cavities dealt with. I get them all four done at once, which was awful. The dentist herself was horrible. She was not trauma informed. She didn't give a shit that she was being really aggressive. It was very, very traumatic. So I left that dentist appointment crying. I was having a trauma response. So some of you might understand that. I've learned to advocate for myself since the new dentist I have. I waltzed my little ass up in there and I was like, what is your trauma-informed care like? And he was immediately able to say, oh, we do these tactics to make sure, like, to alleviate the pain that's associated with the shot for numbing and I just immediately knew, like, okay, this person has not only learned about dentistry, but they have learned about how to make going to the dentist weirdly a calming experience. So I knew, okay, this dentist is for me. So I go have those four cavities filled. This was in end of October of 2023. And shocked about the four cavities, have them done. And I'm like, well, damn, I'll start brushing 3 times a day and flossing 3 times a day. This is weird. Again, I wasn't diagnosed with my vascular compressions yet. So fast forward, March of 2025. So about a year and a half later, I am now, did I do the math right up? 2 years later. Sorry, I'm not a mathematician. Some of y'all might be. I'm like sitting here doing it in my head, just like, what the? Anyways, so from October of 2023 to March of 2025, I'm now 3 months post-op for my kidney auto transplant. So this is about a month and a half ago. I go and have my regular dental checkup appointment. So in this year and a half time frame, I hadn't gone and seen another dentist yet because life was horrible. I was diagnosed with nutcracker. I was going to all these other doctor's appointments. I'm not thinking about dental. Okay. That's the last thing. I don't want to add another medical appointment to my list. I'm sharing this all with you because make sure you add dental to the list. I know you're overwhelmed. I know in other episodes, I'm like, make sure you also add a registered dietitian to your medical team. Make sure that you are including dental. I'm adding more to your plate. I get it. So you can cuss me out on the other side of this episode, wherever you're at. Because I go to a regular dental appointment, just like, you know what? Okay, this is the aftermath. We've gotten the big surgery. So let me go and take care of the things that I haven't been taking care of. Like I went and had an eye doctor appointment. I went and had a dermatology appointment to scan check for skin cancer. Not that I thought I had it, but again, just regular checkups. But when you're going through a chronic illness like you go through with something like Nutcracker, you put the regular checkups on the back burner. But something with vascular compressions that we have to remember is that's blood flow that's being restricted to our body, and it's being rerouted to places it should not be going, meaning that other systems of our body are not receiving proper blood flow. So when I go to this dentist just a month and a half ago, again, a regular dental checkup, I wasn't having any particular immediate issues with my teeth. I just wanted the dentist to check on a few. There were some questionable spots that I had had issues for years, and it wasn't like an issue. It was just like from biting down. Was realizing I was grinding my teeth at night. So I wanted him to check on those things, just kind of talk about it. And I was yet again floored to learn that I had another cavity, so I needed another filling, and I need two crowns. And I just remember looking at him being like, what is up? Like, I mean, I don't want to say that I come from like just absolute top tier dental genetics from my family. But we also don't, the dental genetics aren't bad either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't think Erdner family and think those people have bad teeth, you know? So I'm like, two crowns and a filling? What is up? So I told my dentist, I was like, can I have a kind of a what's going to seem like a side quest conversation? I have vascular compressions. I've diagnosed with May Thurner. I have Nutcracker syndrome. I just had this kidney auto transplant to fix the Nutcracker syndrome. But I've been having blood flow problems because of these vascular compressions for years. We don't know how long, but we're just now finding out about them. So the suspicion is that it's been going on for a while. Could that, the lack of blood flow, be causing this decline in dental health? And he was like, absolutely. And then he proceeds to tell me a lot more stuff. And that's the juice I want to bring you here. So, first of all, if your teeth and your gums are not getting proper blood flow, as an example, one of my residual effects for Nutcracker syndrome was POTS-like symptoms. I was getting headaches. A lot of people since my surgery, one of the most common things people tell me is your face looks different. You can tell you're getting blood flow to your face now. I have had so many different people tell me that because they saw me prior and I just looked like a absolute skin and bones, grayed out person. So if you're, I wasn't getting blood. I mean, it was very apparent I wasn't getting blood to other parts of my body, but to my face, to my head, that's where your teeth are at. If your teeth and your gums are not getting proper blood flow, they're not getting nourished well. The tooth's pulp needs a constant supply of blood to stay alive and to function properly. Okay? It's not getting the blood. Things just, they're vulnerable at this point. Also, other things that can affect teeth health in conjunction with Nutcracker syndrome. Lack of hygiene. So, you know, if you're out there and you're kind of lacking that brushing, flossing, I would say flossing, right? Like, who likes flossing? It was really COVID was the time that I was like, I'm gonna change some behaviors here and start flossing more. So, start flossing. Unhealthy diet or lack of diet or appetite, right? I was dealing with that majorly. I didn't necessarily have blood work, or I didn't have a registered dietitian, which I should have at the time, telling me I was malnourished. But in some ways, I'm pretty sure I was malnourished. So on top of lack of blood flow and not eating properly, because I was super nauseous, lack of appetite, having to choke food down, and then also sometimes I was just it like my the food, the most unhealthy food that I eat is McDonald's. I love that $5 McDouble deal, baby, with a Sprite and barbecue sauce for my little chicken nuggies and that small, the small French fries. I love that. I wasn't eating it every day, but there were times that I was really struggling to eat. And sometimes Kyle would be like, "What do you want to have for dinner?" And I hadn't eaten anything all day. And I would just be like, "You know what? Just pick up something easy. I don't want to make food." He didn't want to make food. I was like, "Just go get McDonald's." So it was just about getting calories in. Were those the best calories? Absolutely not. So at times I had an unhealthy diet too. And some of you, I bet you're shaking your head up and down. I fucking get it. So lack of appetite, nausea, you got that there. Medications. I started anti-anxiety med. I started a middle of the road 10 milligram buspirone 3 times a day. I was prescribed Klonopin, a more heavy hitter, the closer I got to surgery. I don't know specifically if that medication itself has a direct connection to dental health, but you have that. I had Percocet on hand for the days that the pain was worse. I maybe took that once a week, maybe twice a week. I tried to stay away from that, but you're taking the ibuprofens, you're taking the Tylenol. I mean, just I am a satellite location for Walgreens on the amount of prescriptions I have. So I'm sure those played into it. The radiation that's getting pumped into our body from all the different CT scans we have to get because you're sick again, you feel bad, and you go to the ER, and guess what? They're going to send you through that CT machine one more time just to tell you that everything's normal because they don't know to look for these vascular compressions. Our cortisol levels, the absolute fight or flight that you were in, and your adrenal fatigue. I mean, I would love to sit back and say that I handled and I'm still handling this nutcracker process well. And I'm gonna get emotional thinking about it. The term well is so subjective. What the fuck does that mean? I was fighting for my life. And I don't really know if there's a, you can handle that with poison grace when you're fighting for your life. There's autoimmune issues, right, that are, you know, I found out during this process that I don't have hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism, but my T3 is really jacked. So I started some thyroid medication, hormones as well. Found out my hormones were super out of whack. My testosterone was extremely low. So I started hormone replacement therapy with testosterone. All of these things can play a part in dental decline. So for us with vascular compressions, we're the comorbids that are out there on all the different things that intersect that are likely contributing to a potential decline in dental health. So if you're listening to this and you're like, holy shit, me too. I just looking back wasn't putting the pieces together, and I'm in a space in my life where I'm starting to connect the dots. I'm like, oh, the GYN, the dental, the I was starting to have my eyes were also like, I've always had 20/20/20. I mean, one thing about the Erdner family, we've always had very healthy eyes. Like our genetics for our eyes. I mean, my parents, you know, they have reading glasses and stuff like that. They're a little older, but it was very standard. Nobody had contacts. But then all of a sudden, my eyes were like becoming really fatigued, and I wasn't seeing very well. And here I was in my 30s, and my vision was starting to decline more rapidly and earlier than the genetics in my family. And I haven't spoken to an eye doctor about this, but let's just connect the dots. There could be a possibility where these vascular compressions do affect vision and your optics health. Who knows? So again, I don't want to add more to your plate, right? I've already told you, seek out a registered dietitian. But I would encourage you to seek dental care, to schedule that routine appointment. If you are anxious about dental care, something that I've done with my primary is tell him about my anxiety and say, would you be willing and comfortable to prescribe me a one-hit anti-anxiety med? So that way it's like, I'm not asking you to give me 30, so I'm abusing it, but just, I have a dentist appointment coming up. I have anxiety around it. Can I just get a one-hit wonder? And he's like, absolutely. So that's something you can do for yourself if you're anxious about dental care. I wasn't anxious about the initial cleaning. Those aren't really anxiety provoking for me. I was anxious about the crown. So this last Friday, I went and got my first crown done, and I was anxious as shit. Oh my gosh. Popped a Klonopin. I go. So the Klonopin, as well as the trauma-informed approach from this dentist. I have never once said that I enjoyed my experience with a dentist. But I'm telling you, I was enjoying myself. I was at peace. I was just sitting in the chair, just like, this is awesome. And so I want to, again, advocate for yourself in that space. I know it's easy to say, oh, these annual checkups, these 6 months checkup, and put those on the back burner because I have this in the forefront. But what I'm wondering is if I could have potentially mitigated some of the effects, like these five cavities that I have and the two crowns that I have, could I have mitigated that if I would have kept up with my dental, the regimen of going every 6 months? Could I have? So something we talked about is I didn't really make, like, I had a couple dentists be like, oh, you might grind your teeth at night. And I was like, I don't think I'd do that. Like, I just wasn't. And I'm finding out now, I do grind my teeth at night, but it's not necessarily to this extremely, like, like, I'm not, my jaws don't hurt, you know? So one of the things, if I would have gone to the dentist more regularly, they could have talked to me about a night guard, which I ordered one. I will link in the show notes the one that I got. It's a little pricier. It was like on the $100 range. I got it on Amazon. It's from Sweet Guards. And the reason why I like it is it's a bit of a process. They send you a kit and you have to do a mold to your teeth. And then they send you back this night guard that is low profile, which I love. So I bought one just for my bottom teeth. So that way it kind of protects the top and the bottom. And if I would have known sooner, that night guard could have helped potentially mitigate, for example, the effects of, the two crowns that I have to get. I don't know. You know, I can't confidently be like, go to the dentist because you can mitigate these cavities. Who knows, right? Because you're still getting the radiation, the medication, but you can talk to your doctor about that and maybe they can tell you ways to mitigate. Oh, if you are taking this medication, here is something you can do. I can give you this fluoride treatment or something that can help give a better barrier. Who knows? Because now we're $2,000 more in to this medical crisis because of these crowns. So maybe this can save you some money. So things to consider, like I said, like a night guard. I was actually speaking to a mutual friend of mine and Kyle's. She's a dental hygienist, and I actually didn't know it until I was telling her about this bullshit with my teeth. And she was like, oh, that actually makes sense. And then she was like, your inpatient experience, you were on two separate forms of Dilaudid, a localized and a systemic one. And when you're on that kind of, you're sleeping, you're not really aware you're sleeping, and you're grinding your teeth even more. And when you grind your teeth like that, and you're on a medication that does impact dental health, you have a probability of the tooth, the weakest place of a tooth is often that it'll break closer to the gum line. And she's like, so you could have done that during inpatient. And I didn't have my night guard at that time. So this is me being like a little like, Oh, your inpatient experience? Bring that night guard with you. Because looking back, I'm like, absolutely, you're stressed, you're on this medication, you're sleeping in a place that you don't know. Your body's an extremely vulnerable medical space of healing this newly transplanted kidney. So that's something that my hope in talking about this is to validate your lived experience. If you're sitting here saying like, oh my God, my dental health also started to decline in tandem with my vascular compressions. And then things to talk to your dentist about, advocate for your anxiety. Get that one hit wonder anti-anxiety med if you need that, if you need to get some dental work done where there's some grinding going on in your mouth. Talk to your dentist about what you can do to mitigate the effects of because of some of the stuff you're going through medically with the radiation, with the autoimmune, with the hormones, with the medications, with the lack of blood flow, with the diet that's not necessarily the most nourishing for your teeth. What are things you could do to just acutely protect the tooth, the teeth, the gums, whatever it might be? So I hope that this has been beneficial for you to think about. Again, I'm not trying to add more to your plate. Don't hate me. I know how it feels, or you're just like, God damn it. I gotta do this. I gotta call another doctor's office and get on the schedule. But this, I'm just looking out. I'm just looking out. You don't have to schedule the appointment if you don't want to. I really don't care. I want to send you big, big hugs. And like I end every episode, before you go, I want to invite you wherever you are to just take a nice deep breath in through the nose and then at your own pace and more slowly exhale that, becoming more grounded into this moment. And another deep inhale and a slow exhale, feeling yourself become more calm, more relaxed. Stay with that rhythm at your own pace, however long you would like, as you transition into whatever you want to do for the next part of your day, whether it's listening to the next episode or going about the rest of your day. Whatever is next for you, I just want to say that I see you. I know this is challenging. And it's hard to put into words how challenging it is, but I'm just giving you a big hug. I'm proud of you for another day of showing up for yourself. And even if that means not calling the dentist, that's what it means today. Be kind, be gentle to yourself.